Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
A great way to preserve genetic diversity of plants is with a seed bank. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Good day, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we're learning about seed banks and their importance, and we have a seed bank right here at Illinois State University.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to share that with everybody. Here at Illinois State University, the director of the Department of Biology, Dr. Craig Gatto, has given me the privilege of utilizing a cold closet that already is filled with wooden cabinets and a multitude of drawers. And it is an unbelievable opportunity to start saving some of the Fell Arboretum's lineage and trading it with the lineage of other professional gardens across America and perhaps internationally, because these germplasm seed banks are all over the place.
Why are they important, Murph?
They are important because they aid in preserving the lineage of fauna in a specific area, or more specifically, they can be related to, there are depositories that focus on pears, mm-hmm. potatoes,
wow.
corn. There's one in Urbana that's corn-based.
Of course.
Corn-related. Yeah, I know.
Welcome
How
to Central Illinois.
Surprise! Guess what's for lunch? Popcorn! Yeah. And in America, there are 9 germplasm depositories, and they not only collect seeds there, but they have tissue and other genetic resources, as they're called, to preserve plants specifically. They're scattered across the country in an attempt to protect and isolate them, you know, so to save them, but also they are the holding place for plants in a specific region. And some of them are understandable, but some are interesting. And so the ones that I found understandable would be like Davis, California. There's big time diversity out there. And then you also have Fort Collins, Colorado, which is pretty close to Cheyenne Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all important people are probably going to run if there's any kind of nuclear war, and they're going to be able to eat lots of seeds, apparently, because they're really close to each other. And there's actually been some news about depositories in Scandinavia that had problems.
Yes.
And they had to empty them out and start over certain stuff. And the simple reason or explanation behind that is not all seeds can be mixed together. Some bring parasitic mold. Some have other things that come with them that are harmful to a different seed.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of the germplasms use chiropreservation to preserve seed, tissue, and other genetic material.
So they freeze them?
They freeze them. But it's a little more complicated than just freezing them. Like when, you know, we all know the recipe for ice. It's not as simple as that. There's some moisture levels involved with the cooling, and desiccation can happen. It can be too dry. It can be too wet.
Oh, so you really got to get it just.
Yeah,
it's the Goldilocks.
That's
kind
right.
of thing.
And that kind of highlights the limitation that we talked about, is you can't mix some seeds together. They might have to be isolated a little bit further. Another interesting point is, you know, talking about the numbers in these germplasms. The USDA germplasm has over 835,000 specimens. That means from different living things.
Yes.
Compare that to the Washington State University's Pullman Farm, they alone have 93,500.
Mm-hmm.
And I like mentioning that one because those are largely plants that are from the Olympic Peninsula. Never been there? You should go. It's amazing, right?
Uh-huh.
All the humongous stuff is there. But
like redwoods and things?
Redwoods are there. Everything that grows there is bigger because the growing conditions are great. The redwoods that grow out in that area, they're amazing trees because they're taking in moisture through their above ground parts and not just their roots. They're so large.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, we're talking about seed banks, and you're in charge of the seed bank here at Illinois State University.
I'm in charge, and it's just getting started. So we've just crossed the housekeeping threshold, you know, so there was corn for trait research being stored in this cold closet before I was given the opportunity to utilize it. Some of that corn is still in there and will remain. because it's good to preserve other people's research, and there's enough room for everyone in there.
So what are you putting in there, Murph?
Well, what we're doing with the help of students at Illinois State University is we're creating a collections calendar based on what we have here at the Arboretum. So you might start with maples that are in the Acer family. Not all maples will have their seeds collected at the same time. There's some diversity within that genus.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to repeat that for everything, and we're going to determine that. But I have a small collection of seeds that I've saved already, and they're a reflection of my personal preference.
Oh, yeah?
They're
like, what's in
there? Scientific. Well, I have seeds from all the dogwoods except for Cornelian cherry dogwoods. And I don't have those for the reason that we've talked about, that there's a lot of pulp and stuff on that seed, and it takes a while to get all of that stuff off there properly.
Mm-hmm.
And have it mixed with the other seeds that don't have that droop on the outside of them, that mushy jelly bean looking thing. So a lot of the dogwood seeds come off and they're ready to go right into storage. There's not much separation of other tissue or anything like that. I've also started collecting the seeds from lots of magnolias. We have a wonderful magnolia collection here at Illinois State University.
They've been so beautiful this spring.
They are really looking fantastic right now, today. If you haven't come out to the Arboretum this year, it's time to get in touch with me and plan a walk.
You know, I got a question. What if we wanted to start our own seed bank at our own home? Could we do that?
I think it's an absolutely fabulous idea, for the same reason that it's a good idea for ISU and any other organization that's managing a public garden space, so you can share. So some of the seeds that might be kind of trite to one homeowner might be real exciting to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And hawthorn seeds are something that are interesting and fun to save because there are a lot of diversity in hawthorn species, and they're a common plant here in the Midwest. But there are plenty of others that fit the bill.
You know, I used to, I grew hollyhocks for a lot of years, and the hollyhocks that I grew came from seeds that my sister had from her home in Geneseo, which was built before the Civil War. So we have no idea how long those hollyhocks have been growing there.
Right.
So I kind of felt like it was this cool connection to the past, that she took the seeds from those hollyhocks, she gave them to me, and then I shared my hollyhock seeds with a neighbor as well. And they could have been coming from plants that have been growing since, like, the 1850s.
Within the last 48 hours, I had somebody from ISU contact me about a donor tree that's already here on campus, and they contacted me because the tag for the donor dedication is missing.
Oh.
And when they asked me if I knew about the tree, I said, matter of fact, I have. I've noticed that flowering cherry has never had fire blight. Now, it could be because Japanese flowering cherries are more resistant to fire blight. But it's also possible that we've got some lineage that has a little bit of resistance to a very common disease here.
So that seed could help them, help scientists.
That's right. That's right. And I'm not a scientist, for the record, but I would
you
like to be
arborist.
Supportive of them. So I'm not claiming that we have a scientific threshold here, but I am claiming that it's the world is so small, and the germplasms are just another example of that, that we collect the seeds from this Japanese flowering cherry. There may be people in the Department of Mathematics where that tree is close to that are particularly interested in it. And that evolves into another opportunity for a fell arboretum plant sale that's different from ones we've had in the past.
Okay, Murph. Well, thank you so much for filling us in
on
the whole seed library thing. Now, next week on GLT's Grow, I'm going to sound very philosophical here, so bear with me. It's how to water and how not to water.
Oh, yeah.
Not talking about technique there, but a ways of avoidance and doing some good for the environment as well. That is coming up next week on GLT's Grow. And we'd love your questions, too. If you've got something you'd like Merck to take on, we'll go to our website, wglt.org, fill in the form, and send that right along to us. Feel free to include a photo in your gardening question. Just submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.